The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, produced by Shui Media and brought to you by way of Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, and the Vox Media Podcast Network. We are your friendly neighborhood podcast where we just enjoy drinking cold beverages and talking about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, your NFC East champion, Dallas Cowboys.
Yay!
That's right. You know me, folks. My name is Michael Sizemore. I've been writing for Blogging the Boys for a while. You can find me at Mr. Sizemore on Twitter, and you can find my work at Blogging the Boys. You also know my friend. He is the man of the hour. He's too sweet to be sour, folks. My colleague at Blogging the Boys, the Walter Math out of my Jack Lemmon, the Arn Anderson, to my shit-talking Ric Flair, Mr. Tom Ryle.
Oh, we are feeling good tonight.
Yeah, I just worked a 12-hour shift, so yay! You can follow him on Twitter, at Tom Ryle BTB, and we come to you on Christmas Eve. Guys, and the Cowboys gave us an early Christmas present. They beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 27-20, fend off Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers' late surge toward the end, and take care of business at home to go to 9-6. They win the division. The NFC East is locked up, and the last playoff spot is going to be between the Minnesota Vikings and the Philadelphia Eagles, who are somehow still in it, Tom.
Yeah, they have to have a Vikings loss, and they have Washington,
yeah,
which is not entirely out of the question. Certainly, the Vikings are playing the Bears. And if the Bears don't decide to just fold up shop because they don't think they can overtake and get into a bye, then, you know, it could all happen. It could fall into place for them. But, you know, the Bears have a fearsome defense, and, you know, I just don't know. But it doesn't. One thing that doesn't matter is that the Cowboys can only wind up playing the Seahawks or the Vikings. So
yes, that is correct. That is correct. And another thing that doesn't matter is the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys and talk about the NFC East champions. Tom, the Cowboys just win their third NFC East title in 5 years and the second of the Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott era. What did you think about this game, Tom? And what were your just impressions of how the Cowboys won this division, how they came back through the season and what they've gone through to win this?
Well, it kind of fell into the category of the offense did just enough to make a really good defensive performance come through. The defense allowed a lot of yards, but held them to 20 points, which was crucial. And as I am noted in an article that's going up, the Cowboys had a 2-score lead until there were 2 minutes and 5 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, there was not enough time for the Buccaneers to really catch up.
So they kind of, I think, were trying to make the Buccaneers just eat up as much time as possible, which they succeeded at. And then, of course, Leighton Van Der Esch, the super rookie linebacker, recovered the onside kick and the Cowboys got a first down from Ezekiel Elliott and then just had to take one kneel down. So yeah. it was great to see them win it outright, not have to worry about what happens with the Eagles, not have to worry about backing in. They're the outright NFC East champions with a week to go and some freedom to make some decisions against the Giants in their last game of the season. Maybe they'll rest some players. Jerry Jones has been talking about going at it hard. The team's talking about wanting to go out and play, but I don't think the coaches are necessarily going to push all that hard. Mm-hmm. It would be really, I think, smart to maybe get Zeke off the field a little earlier, let Rod Smith and Darius Jackson get some carries. I would not object to seeing Cooper Rush come in the second half. You know, there's a lot of things they can do to protect their best players, get them a little rest for the playoffs. I certainly think we'll see the starters come out in the game because they want to keep them sharp mm-hmm. with what's likely to be a very tough game against the Seahawks, who's their most likely opponent in the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, I'm just glad to have seen them get the win. A lot of questions still about the problems they've been having all year because they're still having some issues, and they didn't put up very many yards. But oddly enough, Dak was at his best when it was down to a one score lead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You say that, and I want to get to that. You said the offense did just enough, and that's exactly right. I don't think that the offense really did anything to hurt the team at all in this game. I think that they did enough to win the game, and they took after what the defense was doing. The defense took over, and they let them do that. But if you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers drives, the defense did such a phenomenal job. You talk about the first drive that they have, you know, they take 3 minutes off the clock, seven plays, but then they end up having to kick a field goal.
Yeah,
Their third drive that they had on offense, the longest, the second longest drive of their of the night. You know, because their second drive ended with a fumble and a fumble, the first Jameis Winston fumble of the night, and that went for 69 yards and a touchdown. So then you look at the third drive that they had, 14 plays, 7 minutes off the clock, field goal.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that's the key thing is that the Cowboys were putting stops on them when they had to. You know, they had one time when they got them off the field on downs.
Yes.
Which was very important.
That was their longest drive of the night. The longest drive of the night was in the third quarter for Tampa Bay. They took 9 minutes and 35 seconds off the clock, went 17 plays, 73 yards, and Jameis Winston couldn't punch it in, and they turned it over on downs. That is a crucial killer. For their game.
That was a very big one. And, you know, of course, the defense had two spectacular plays.
Yes.
You know, the one, the Randy Gregory, Jalen Smith tag team touchdown.
Yeah.
Just, you know, at a time when Tampa Bay was driving and they put a stop to it and put 7 points on the board in the first defensive or special team score all season long.
Yes.
Which it was good to see them break through that barrier. So maybe now they can get a few more here in January.
Yeah.
But that was just a great play. And then there was the other fumble where Randy Gregory came flashing in. And as I believe it was Brian Broaddus remarked, probably influenced it because the back running back probably took his eyes off the ball a little bit because he's going, oh, my gosh. And then the ball gets on the ground and Gregory pounds. Almost get the chance to take it into the end zone.
Yeah.
And that set up the Cowboys with a touchdown, the pass to Michael Gallup.
And that's where I need to stop you because this is what I had said before the game. I said, this is an error-prone Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. They want to roll over, make them roll over, make them give you the ball. They did that twice, but the Cowboys did what they were supposed to do. One, the defense. They went and got a 69 fumble return touchdown, but Jalen Smith, as you mentioned. But then on the next turnover, the Cowboys said, hey, we're not going to waste any time. We're going to put this in the end zone. 2 plays later, they're there. And they made good on these turnovers. And so they really, you know, they were up 27-13 at one time. That's an ass whooping. Before you know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers try to make a comeback towards the end, but too little, too late. And these are NFL teams; are really close at the end of games. Defenses are going, if they know that they have a nice lead like that, a 14-point lead. Yeah, they're going to soften up a little bit because they're just trying to sit on their lead. That's what they're doing. But you said they were sitting on their lead, but your longest drive of the night for the Buccaneers ended on downs.
Yeah.
Late in the third quarter.
Yeah, and it was a weird game in a way because the Buccaneers got, I believe, I'm trying to check here real quick, they got 7 first downs by penalties.
Yes.
And some of those penalties were just a little bizarre.
I did not know that you could call delay of game on the defense.
Yeah, I didn't either. That was I don't think anybody knew that at the time. The announcers were like, "Huh?"
And the Xavier Woods, you know, roughing the passer was also dumb. The Xavier Woods penalty, unnecessary roughness, leading with his shoulder. I don't know how you call that. There's going to be a lot of changes.
I do know how they called that because when you looked at it in real time the first time, the way it hit back, you know, the immediate thought came was helmet to helmet. Well, the replay showed it wasn't. It was just such a violent hit. And that's where, you know, hopefully they're going to come up with some way to review some of these calls that obviously are wrong, to have somebody come in and say, no, guys, that wasn't a violation of the rules. And then there was Randy Gregory got called offsides one time, and the replay showed that Randy Gregory moved the split second the center did. What can you do? The guy timed it perfectly, and they threw a flag on him because they couldn't believe he was that quick.
Yeah, that's just, to me, that was just kind of ridiculous. Don't know, like, but you know, we can talk about calls every single week. There's going to be calls every single week, but the Cowboys overcame that, which brings me to what the Cowboys have done all year.
Yes.
Is that they have just overcome. You talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had 336 passing yards, or Jameis Winston, I should say, had 336 passing yards. And Dak only had 161. The Cowboys won a game where Zeke didn't rush for 100 yards. They didn't have 200 yards passing. Amari Cooper didn't have to do all that much.
He had 20 yards.
20 yards. Cole Beasley, you know, did a little here, a little there. Michael Gallup was the leading receiver by 3 yards over Cole Beasley, but they just got it done. They got the win, and they won, you know, this game without officiating, without, you know, Sean Hockley, the son of Ed Hockley, who has called 75 more penalties than the guy that has called the least. The Cowboys lost time of possession by 11 minutes almost.
And one of the things is a little hidden nugget in there was that, you know, Amari Cooper may have been taken out. The Bucs may have just decided they weren't going to let him beat them. Well, but Michael Gallup came up with a couple of big plays. So I think that could be very valuable going forward because now you've got threat one, threat two, and threat three that are all starting to click in the receiving game when you combine, Cooper, Gallup, and Beasley. Plus, the tight ends are quietly becoming effective. And by the way, Dalton Schultz gets special credit because he saved that fumble by Ezekiel Elliott by getting on it. So, that was very big. The Cowboys, as you said, didn't turn it over. Although they came close, they still managed to come away with no turnovers, which was huge.
Yes, and this game to me is like the epitome of what's happened all season long. You look at it and you say, okay, well, 27-20, it's only a 7-point victory. Okay, well, the Cowboys were only 7.5-point favorites, so there you go. But also, I don't think people understand when they were kind of ridiculing and criticizing on Twitter and on social media platforms the win, because Joe Buck was criticizing the win afterwards. He took every chance he could to mention, you know, the offense's struggles. And I get it. But let's be honest here. Are you all right there? There's some paper ruffling? Okay.
No, I was having a drink there.
Okay, sorry. Let's be honest though. The Cowboys winning, when a team can win ugly, that's far better than the alternative, because if they would have lost this game in week 17, the Eagles, you know, beat the Texans. Week 17, the NFC East could have been the Eagles if they got a win and the Cowboys lost. So you wanted to take care of this, put it to bed now. Don't have the NFC East up for grabs. You did so much work to get there. And also, guys, the Cowboys, 2 for 3 in the red zone, 66.7%. That's 68.7%, you know, pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. It was against, the weakest red zone defense in the NFL, but they still got 17 points off of three red zone trips.
You say that, but I'll tell you right now, because I know this, because I wrote about this on Blogging the Boys. the Cowboys, their three best red zone performances this year have come against three of the top 10 red zone defenses. Their three worst came against the Texans and two other defenses that are some of the easiest to score on.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys like to take what you think about and do the opposite.
Yeah.
And they did tie their season low for total yards in 232, the last 232 total yards. And the last time that happened was week one in a 16-8 loss against the Panthers. And though the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had racked up nearly 400 yards, ran 25 more plays than they did, and had two times the passing yards that the Cowboys did, and possession won the time of possession battle, it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. Don't shame the winners for this lack of style points here, because you know this is life in the NFL. It's hard to win football games in the NFL. You don't get style points. One decision determines whether you're 5-11 or 11-5. So
yeah, and that's why the big picture is so important here. After a bad loss, where the Cowboys, for whatever reason, just seemed a little out of gas and not quite ready to play and let themselves get behind and weren't able to come back, they bounced back, got the win they needed, and that's all that really matters in the end. They got the win, they got the division, and they get to go into the playoffs with a home game. So
yeah, out of the 160... Out of the 163 teams that have made the playoffs that have, since the new format started in 1990 and started, these guys, 163 teams that started 3-5, only 163 teams total started 3-5. Only 13 of them made the playoffs. That's 8%. The Cowboys are now the 14th team to do that. The Cowboys are also the only team in the Cowboys franchise history to start 3-5 and end up winning the division. So what I wanted to say about this team, Tom, I think this team showed a lot of grit.
Yes, that is what has been the hallmark over the second half of the season, is that they have had that grit, that ability to reach down and get performances when they needed it. And, you know, in a couple of times when nobody thought they could.
Yes, exactly. We're going to take a quick break here on a Christmas Eve edition of Brews and the Boys podcast. We'll be right back. And we are back. Right before the break, Tom, we talked about how the Cowboys, you know, are just the true definition of the word grit, the way that they have been able to get wins. But I looked at this, and this is a preview of what's coming on Blogging the Boys tomorrow on Christmas Day. This Cowboys squad, you know, winning the division ugly, it's just, I think that if you can win ugly, that tells you a lot about the makeup of your team, because you are such a tough, battle-tested type of team. I don't know if you're going to be able to trust this team in the playoffs. I don't know about all that. But are you going to trust every single other team? Because look around you. The Rams can't seem to score in the red zone anymore. There's other teams, like the defense has given up everything. The Chiefs are giving up every single play you want to throw at them. So I looked at the Cowboys season. I'm saying, okay, well, have the Cowboys always like just been this ugly winning team? And no, they've had every type of win this season, Tom, that you can think of.
Yeah.
They've a blowout win. Sure. They hung 40 on the trash talking Jaguars and they hump and Jalen Ramsey was humbled by a 5'8" slot receiver. Okay. So fourth quarter game winning drives. Yep. Dak Prescott ice cold in that 2-minute drill. Tom, you know that fended off Matthew Stafford at home. And he also exercised his demons in Atlanta against Matt Ryan. Okay, so did they have a season, like a saving win? Of course. That win in Philadelphia when they were at a 3-5 crossroads, other teams would have folded. They went 3-4 in the red zone that day. They saved their season. Dak and Zeke hooking up for touchdowns, and they took down the defending champions in their house. They got a nail-biting overtime win over the Eagles despite losing a turnover battle 3-1, despite going 1-4 in the red zone, and over 100 yards lost in penalties. I put in my post, Dak Prescott plus Amari Cooper plus Ezekiel Elliott equals career day. So, they got the vengeance win against the Redskins where Amari Cooper threw a yak party all over them, and they got the statement win against the Saints. So, and then this win against the Buccaneers. Defense wins divisions. That's what I'm calling it.
And let me say this. This is the team that Jason Garrett has built. This is the character he's been trying to instill in the team all along, and that he's done a good job of getting there. And I think this year it's kind of coming to fruition. As you said, we don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. We don't want a one and done, but even if they do, this has been a really good season for Garrett's coaching and what he's gotten this team to do when they were, you know, staring, missing the playoffs right in the face.
The turnaround, that is what he's done is incredible. They're in uncharted waters here. I just told you that, you know, only 13 teams made the playoffs. The Cowboys are the 14th. You know, even less, I think, even less won a playoff game, 8 of those. Lost in the wild card round. 4 teams only made it to the divisional round, and only one has ever made it to the conference title game going 3-5, and that was the 96 Jaguars. So this team, the way they have come back, they surprised you and I, Tom, because there were times in this season where you and I were calling for heads.
Yes, and I think we still might want to suggest a head after the end of the season, but we'll wait and see how it all shakes out and see what happens. And right now, you know, they've gotten here. The best thing when you get done with the regular season is to know that it ain't over. You've got another game to play. And that's where the Cowboys are. We don't have to go to January and start going through draft prospects quite yet.
No, exactly. You know, this team, the Cowboys, they – like I looked last night just doing some research. I'm going to come up with something later for Blogging the Boys just about, you know, Tom, how many of the worst teams have won like Super Bowls and things. And you think about the Giants, you know, and beating the Patriots several times and other teams like that. The Cowboys are pretty much on par with those types of teams. But if you can win and show that you can win in a variety of ways, that you're not one-dimensional. Yesterday, the Cowboys beat the Buccaneers without 200 yards in passing and without 100 yards rushing. That is something that this team couldn't have done in the rookie seasons for Dak and Zeke.
Yeah, it was. And it's because the defense has suddenly turned into one of the better units in the NFL. And they've suddenly got people making plays from all over the place. You know, they lost Tyrone Crawford for the game. Fortunately, it looks like he was not seriously hurt and will be available possibly. If not this weekend, then he'll be available for the playoffs, it certainly looks like.
Yeah.
But they had Malik Collins. Yeah. I can't say that. He's playing well. DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory are now a great set of pass rushing bookends. Antoine Woods has been a real find out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You've got maybe the best pair of linebackers in the NFL, one of whom is in his third season and the other of whom is a rookie. You've got Byron Jones, who made his first Pro Bowl. Anthony Brown was out for the game. He's been playing well, but Jordan Lewis came in and did a pretty good job. Chidobe Awuzie had some good plays. You know, Xavier Woods, his best play was a fake penalty, but you know, the safeties are doing pretty well. The defense is just pretty dang strong front to back, and they have carried the team at times. They carried them yesterday, and you know, that could be a real hope. You know, they say that defense wins championships.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to see how much they can do this year.
Yeah, because if you want to say, like, in this playoff format, who the teams that are going to the playoffs, if you wanted to ask yourself, okay, well, which teams do I know have a defense that can get the stop when they need it? The Cowboys have to be at the top of your list with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, the Bears would be number one.
Yeah.
And then the Cowboys are right up there from all the teams that are in the playoffs, you know. And it's kind of an interesting in the bigger picture of the NFL. You know, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, everybody was talking about how the big play offense, the guys that could, you know, put up 400 yards regularly and score 35 points all the time, that was the future of the NFL. Suddenly the defenses started rearing their heads and saying, wait a minute, now it's deep into the season. Teams are getting a little tired. We're going to step up. And the Cowboys have been right in the middle of that mix.
Yeah, and the Cowboys are the only playoff team to have literally just one loss to a sub-500 team, and it happened in week one against the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's pretty interesting how things are going here. The playoffs are going to be definitely interesting to see what happens, what the Cowboys can do. Like you said, even if they are one and done, what a remarkable type of turnaround for this team to win the division. They went and took the division, I should say.
Yeah.
I should correct myself. They went and took the division when nobody else wanted it. They came in, they took care of business against the Redskins and their division opponents, and they took the division, and now they're sitting here having iced over this NFC East with only 9 wins. It didn't take 10, more than that. They got 9. They don't even have to play their starters in the last game. I mean, this is a crazy world that we live in from where we were when they were 3-5. The Cowboys are just, that's pretty remarkable for what they've been able to do.
Yeah, and they did benefit from an NFC East where you didn't have teams that were really strong. You know, you have Washington and Philadelphia that are basically flirting with being 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
The great irony would, I think, be if the Cowboys and Philadelphia both wind up 9-7, but Philadelphia still doesn't get into the playoffs. I mean, I have to admit, I would just be laughing about that. But however it ends up, the Cowboys, you know, partly because the Cowboys slapped a lot of losses on the other division teams, the NFC East doesn't have a really great overall record. So, you know, they turned out to get to the top of that, and that's all that matters because they are in. And
yeah, they are in. And also, you know, this is something that just needs to be mentioned. I'm glad that the Oakland Raiders are currently winning on Monday Night Football right now, because they're not going to like it when they look that they made that trade, traded Amari Cooper to the Cowboys, traded their best defensive pass rusher, Khalil Mack, to the Chicago Bears. Both teams have already won their division, and both teams have decided that, no, Oakland, your first-round picks are going to be 26th and 28th as we sit right now. So the Cowboys, that's just incredibly hilarious to me.
And meanwhile, the Raiders are busy making their own pick worse.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because, and also I just want to say, like, quickly, a little preview of my post that I'm doing about the worst teams to ever win the Super Bowl. I just want to tell you that the Cowboys score percentage on each drive is 38%. That's higher than any of them that had won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So just want you to know that there. Okay. So Tom, do you have any last words before we get out of here on a Christmas Eve?
No, it's going to be a happy new year because
Amari
we'll be
Christmas
able to celebrate.
And a happy new year.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to say Amari Christmas and a hot boys new year, but you know,
they were hot yesterday, weren't they?
Yes. But that's, you know, I'm really, really kind of, it's going to be intriguing, you know, win or lose, the Cowboys just getting into January was such an accomplishment this year. After how they started out, after all the trouble they had trying to figure out things offensively, to now have it coming along, to have a legit wide receiver one, to have a burgeoning wide receiver two, a slot receiver who's still there if they remember to get him in the game plan. You've still got Ezekiel Elliott. Dak seems to be able to find his best plays when the team needs him the most. So
he actually played a pretty good game yesterday, stepped up in the pocket a couple of times to get Gallup. I like
yep.
it. I liked it.
Yes.
But we just want to thank you guys for listening. We want you to have a Merry Christmas. This has been the Brews and the Boys podcast, official podcast of Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, through the Vox Media Podcast Network. Look for him at Tom Ryle, BTB on Twitter. Look for me at Mr. Sizemore. And look for us at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Brews and the Boys. Check in with bloggingtheboys.com for updates daily from everyone that's over there and the staff that does a great job, our coworkers there. So have a great night, Cowboys Nation. Have a Merry Christmas. Your Dallas Cowboys are NFC East champions.
Brews and the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. For more, visit brewsandtheboys.com.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.